Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Oro Cobre March 2019 quarterly market update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to ask a question via the webcast, please click on the Ask a Question tab on the top right corner of your screen anytime during the conference. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Martin Perez de Solay, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jesse. I would like to welcome you all to Oro Cobre's quarterly activities briefing for the March 2019 quarter. I would like to open the call with some comments on safety. Unfortunately, an incident occurred at Olaroz and another one at the Sijes mine of Borax during the quarter, with each resulting in a lost time incident being recorded. At the end of March, the Tinkalayo mine at Borax had achieved 704 days without an LTI, and Campo Quijano had achieved 387 days without an LTI. Prior to an LTI being recorded at the Sijes mine during February, the site have achieved a record of 1,249 days without an LTI. An improvement roadmap was developed by DuPont at Olaroz following an in-depth safety audit to address the key risks and priorities to improve the safety performance. The company and DuPont are continuing to work together to develop and foster the company's safety culture. Moving on to the results for the quarter, the Olaroz lithium facility saw total production of 3,075 tons, which was the best March quarter we have achieved to date. 3,075 tons is an increase of 10% when compared to previous corresponding period following our pond preparation and continued strategy of managing brine quality. During the March quarter, rainfall exceeded the same period in 2018 and 2017, resulting in lower evaporation rates. As reported, there were no material production stoppages, nor reduction in the import of supplies or export of finished product. Production for the year to date is 9,150 tons, and as previously reported, Oro Cobre expects full-year production to be approximately the same as financial year 2018, which was 12,470 tons. Quarterly sales revenue was $33.4 million, which was up 4% quarter-over-quarter, with a realized average price achieved of $9,451 per ton on a free on board basis. March quarter product pricing was below that of December quarter due to both direct and indirect impacts of China's prolonged market softness. Sales volume for the quarter was up 17% quarter-over-quarter to 3,530 tons. Gross cash margins, excluding the Argentinian export tax of $5,258 per ton, were down 20% quarter-over-quarter due to the lower average price received. Cash costs for the quarter on cost of goods sold basis were $4,193 per ton, up 6% quarter-over-quarter and down 4% on previous corresponding period, excluding the recently announced export tax of $776 per ton. Operational strategy has focused on safety and quality. Special attention is being devoted to improve the lithium grade of brine feedstock. Improving the brine quality has multiple effects, including higher lithium recoveries, lower cost of production, and increased product quality and consistency. Following rain in January and February, battery-grade production was temporarily suspended while brine quality recovered during March. Customers requiring battery-grade lithium carbonate were supplied for inventory during this period. Production of battery-grade lithium carbonate will recommence during the June quarter. Moving on to the lithium growth projects. Subsequent to the end of the quarter, we were excited to announce that Oro Cobre, Toyota Tsusho Corporation, and joint venture boards have approved the final investment decision for the Naraha lithium hydroxide plant to be built in Japan. Oro Cobre will hold a 75% economic interest in the project, with operations to be managed by TTC. The construction of the Naraha lithium hydroxide plant will further cement our position as a global lithium chemicals producer operating at the bottom quartile of the lithium cost curve. This plant is the first of its kind in Japan and will provide us product diversification suitable for the different battery technologies and the potential for significant margin growth on our primary lithium carbonate being converted to battery-grade lithium hydroxide. Construction of the Naraha lithium hydroxide plant is expected to commence during the first half of calendar year 2019, with commissioning to commence during the first half of calendar year 2021. Construction of the key items of Stage 2 expansion of the Olaroz lithium facility, such as pond, secondary liming plant, roads and camp upgrades, have also continued to advance throughout the quarter. Moving on to Borax Argentina, we saw overall sales volume in the March quarter increase 21% quarter over quarter, 44% on previous corresponding period, to 13,041 tons, which included a sale of 2,312 tons of low-value mineral. Excluding these mineral sales, the result is in line with the December quarter for 2018. Sales revenue was up 4% quarter over quarter, and average price received was up 3.5% quarter over quarter after adjusting for the low-value mineral sales. On the corporate side, Orocobre released the 2018 sustainability report during the quarter, and as I was quoted at the time, it has quickly become evident that my predecessors Richard Seville's commitment to the share value program at Olaroz established an enviable culture based on understanding and analysis, operational excellence, and sustainability. This is something that I am confident we can further develop in the future. At the quarter's end, Orocobre corporately had $265.7 million of available cash after expenditure, mainly related to expansion activities, Naraha lithium hydroxide plant basic engineering, corporate expenses, Cauchari joint venture expenses, Borax working capital and debt repayment, which was partially offset by interest income. Including Sales de Jujuy and Borax cash and project debt, our net group cash is currently $192.9 million. Moving on to our Cauchari joint venture, during the quarter, Advantage Lithium released their updated resource estimate for the Cauchari joint venture property. The updated resource estimate has more than doubled from the previous resource announced in May 2018 to 4.8 million tons of lithium carbonate equivalent of measured and indicated resources contained in 1.8 cubic kilometers of brine and 1.5 million tons of inferred resources. As I said, when this resource update was released to the market, it is clear that our joint venture partners, Advantage Lithium, have delivered a well-designed and well-executed resource definition program. This result, which has more than doubled the total Cauchari resource, provides us with a great opportunity to reassess future development options to maximize the value for all shareholders. So overall, this has been another good quarter for Orocobre with a solid operational result, the approval of Naraha, and progress on the Olaroz expansion. I will now hand back to the operator for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. If you wish to ask a question via the webcast, please click on the Ask a Question tab on the top right corner of your screen. I will now pause momentarily to allow questioners to enter the queue. Your first question comes from Andrew Hodge from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. I just wanted to check to see on, I guess, like pricing as well as future production guidance. You guys have now saying that you're going to be achieving the same production levels approximately as what you did in FY18. And I think you've just kind of touched on then about the operational update. Can you give us a sort of a sense for what you think is like a sort of a sustainable run rate? I mean, obviously, things will change quarter on quarter. Obviously, as you said, like this Q3 was very strong. But just to get a sense of how you kind of think things going ahead will look like.
Well, thank you, Andrew. As you said, the production on a quarterly basis is going to be seasonal and adjusted for climate variations. We continue to expect the same production as we had last year for the current financial year. And regarding future years, we're currently working on understanding better the performance of the plant and then pond systems as we are building new ponds for the stage two for the expansion of the plant. So on due time, we'll look into providing a guidance of future years production. Yet it's difficult at this point in time to tell you something like a sustainable rate on a quarterly basis since it's highly impacted by seasonal weather conditions.
I guess I was just trying to work out, given the new ponds that are coming online, I'm just trying to work out what's kind of the right way to kind of think about what's kind of an effective utilization of the plant going forward before the second stage plant comes online.
Well, basically, we are building the ponds ahead of the second stage. However, it takes about 9 to 12 months for the brine to concentrate as it goes through the ponds. We're growing ponds capacity by 200%, and we're growing nameplate capacity of the plant by 150%. So overall, we'll have more pond area available for production. Particularly, we will see the largest impact of the new ponds being built. We should expect it for the fiscal year 2020. And then as we operate the expansion and the current plant jointly, we should see an improvement as well. Difficult, I'm sorry, to tell you now, you know, an exact figure of how much that increase in production could be.
Okay. And next question was just going to be about in terms of pricing, just to get a sense of how much you guys are kind of contracted for this calendar year at the moment, and just if you can give kind of an indication of how you think things will kind of progress throughout the rest of the year.
Well, on pricing, we said that we continue to see volatility and short-term adjustments in the market. It is very early in the quarter to release numbers, but we expect a lower pricing for this quarter based on the current shipments that we have for the quarter. We see it in the range of 8,200 based on current shipments that have already been agreed for the quarter, but we will provide a further release once we get more into the details of the quarter with more orders.
Okay. And last question is just about in terms of the debt financing. You guys have talked a bit about the Naraha financing last week, but just to get a sense about how the proposed debt funding is going for phase two and when you expect to be able to try and talk about it in more detail.
Well, we are progressing on debt funding for stage two as we speak. We expect to have the total debt financing package agreed and signed in detail with the bank. The overall figures have been agreed and the debt financing is available. However, the detailed contracts have not been signed and we expect to get them done to us mid of this year by the time we release the results.
Okay, awesome. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Adam Baker from Global Mining Research. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Congrats on the good quarter. Just wondering, have you negotiated any longer-term contracts with any of your customers with regards to offtake agreements?
Thank you. Yes, we are currently working on that. I will divert the question to David Hall, who is in charge of those negotiations, and he's in the call with me.
Adam, we do have some longer-term agreements in place already, and it's a major focus right now. We have a number of longer-term contractual arrangements in varying stages of negotiation, and a couple of those are quite sizable. And we'd expect to be, you know, closing those sort of within the next 5 to 6 months.
Okay, great. Thanks for that information. Also, just wondering, with regards to production of the battery-grade carbonate in the June quarter, I was wondering if you could be more specific, if you've, you know, got a month that you have in mind that you'll be producing battery-grade again?
Well, we hope to be producing battery-grade. We're not producing battery-grade today. The evaporation rate in the first weeks of April was lower than expected, and brine quality is recovering. We expect to start producing, you know, fairly quickly by the end of this month, beginning of the following, with purified battery grade product again.
Great, thanks for that. That's all I've got. Cheers.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Joel Jackson, private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Bria Murphy. I'm for Joel Jackson. Just a question on, you spoke on your last call about reviewing your CapEx budget and your timeline. Have you any update there?
Well, we are. Thank you. That is regarding the expansion, the stage two at Olaroz. And as we gave the update in the release, we've just selected Jacobs as the preferred contractor. We are sitting down with them and negotiating the EPCM agreements as well as the supply orders for the key parts of equipment. And as we progress with that, we should be able to have a more clear figure in terms of budget and in terms of timeline for the project. For the time being, we are keeping the same figures that we have said before. We are not changing them. And once we finalize this work with them, we should be able to do that again. That should come jointly with the release of full-year results.
Okay. And then just on costs, I guess, can you talk a little bit about the trajectory for costs? And do you see them moving towards your longer-term target of $3,500 per ton anytime soon?
Well, that's our objective for the primary production cost. The cost for this quarter, it's not 100% primary. We have produced 10% of the production was roughly purified that we produced in the month of January. Then we moved on to primary as the quality of the brine deteriorated. This quarter is also impacted negatively by lower brine quality, which requires a larger amount of energy as you have to pump more brine through the plant and a larger amount of reagents. So, you know, we expect to be able to stabilize brine costs closer to the 3,500 range. We are not there yet. We think it's achievable, but, you know, it will take some time and effort and also will require a further stabilization of the brine quality.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Rahul Anand from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, Martin and team. Thanks for the opportunity. Look, I might ask the first one on costs specifically. Just wanted to focus on specifically the devaluation in currency and inflation. I mean, they've tracked pretty closely now. And as the previous person was asking around costs of $3,500 in the long run, just wanted to understand, despite the devaluation having taken place, what is holding us up besides brine quality at this point in time? So if in the future, let's say in a quarter or two's time, if there is ample good quality brine available, should we expect the levels to be at around 3,500, or is that 3,500 level only achievable once you've hit your nameplate, which is much higher than where you are currently? Thanks. That's the first one. I'll come back with the second.
Okay. Well, regarding the first one, as said before, brine quality is very important because it impacts a lot on the recovery rate from the plant and the use of reagents. But as we see production increasing, we should see the costs coming down. Unfortunately, I can't yet answer you whether we need to achieve nameplate as the basis for achieving a 3,500 cost. That's what we target, and we should be able to get there. Obviously, increases in production would result in lower prices as the fixed cost is large. But unfortunately, as I said before, I don't have the number of what the plant can produce on a more stable basis, and it is difficult to assess it. Yes, we should see it coming down to that target. We continue to have the target, but yet I'm not able to give you an exact date by which we will get there.
Okay, and still connected to costs then, in terms of working capital, how much of an increase in working capital do you think we still need in terms of additional brine inventories for predictable production going forward?
Well, as that it's yet going to be worked out, because once we finalize the detailed timeline for the pond construction, we'll have the detailed timeline for how do we fill in the ponds with brine, how much lime do we use as we fill in the ponds, and we process the brine with lime. And that will tell us what the working capital is. I'm planning to be able to release that jointly with the timeline for the expansion project by the time we release results of the year.
Okay, excellent. And just, I guess, final question from me then is around pricing. Just wanted to understand the dynamic between 1Q and 2Q. Andrew asked the question about how you expecting the price. So, I mean, you did mention that price probably comes off in the second quarter to around 8,400. And you also said that you're going to produce more battery-grade product by starting the end of this month. So just wanted to tie that up and sort of understand how come you had a higher price when more primary product was being sold. Is that leftover volumes from last year and that's the reason? Or what other dynamic is at play? Because I would have thought the price improves if you're selling more purified.
Well, as I said, this price projection is based on the current shipment orders. Perhaps David can comment more on that. But the orders that have already been agreed and signed for the quarter still are predominantly prime. That's why you don't see the impact of the purified product. Perhaps David, you can comment on that more.
Yeah, I think probably one of the other aspects at play in the difference between Q1 and Q2 is that we actually have a larger exposure to the Chinese market in Q2 than we have had in Q1, and that's actually across both purified product going into the battery market as well as prime product into the industrial markets.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And just finally, I know I did say finally last time, but just in terms of weaker production seasonally, Q2 and Q3, how should we think about that? Are you okay in terms of brine inventories as they stand at the moment to step into sort of seasonally lower production months?
Well, we should see better productions in the fourth quarter of the fiscal year, which is Q2 of the current year. Q3 should be improved as a consequence of maintaining a more stable brine quality. But Q3 will give you a guidance when we put together the numbers for the following year.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. We'll now move over to some webcast questions. The first one is, what will be the gross margin at Nahara? And the second being, when will stage one nameplate of 17,500 T be achieved?
But regarding the gross margin at Nahara, we are forecasting currently an OPEX at Nahara of $1,500. Not including the cost of the lithium carbonate. So the margin will depend on the difference between the lithium hydroxide and the lithium prime quality carbonate, which is the one that we're going to ship to Naraha, minus $1,500. That's what will drive the margin of the Naraha plant. Second one, on the 17,500, as said before, I can't yet tell you when are we going to get there. because it depends a lot on how can we stabilize and manage the brine quality in the ponds and how the seasonality impacts. We're working on reducing the impact of seasonality as we speak, and we'll continue to work. We'll take some time to get there.
Thank you. The next webcast question is, with two new evaporation ponds built and filled, can you quantify the level of extra production these ponds can contribute in 9 to 12 when the brine is ready for harvesting?
It's lots of questions in that one. As I said before, it takes 9 to 12 months to concentrate the brine in the ponds, and as we are building ponds ahead of the stage 2 expansion, we should be able to use that incremental pond capacity for stage 1. That should impact positively. I don't have a number, as I said before, of how much that positive impact is going to be. The other question deals with the harvesting of the ponds. We already harvested 6 of the 8 harvestable ponds. We are harvesting 2 more. And as we have more ponds available, you know, the ponds will be harvested on a cycle of 3 years, enabling us to reach a better harvesting and pond management over time.
Thank you. Your next telephone question comes from Glyn Lawcock from UBS Investment Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. A few questions. Just firstly, you attended that meeting in Argentina that you talk about in the quarterly. Just what sort of initiatives came out of that? You know, what could we expect from the Argentinian government? Just curious if there's anything on the horizon. And, you know, was the tax that you're paying currently, which I think is for 2 years, is that likely to stay, maybe be extended? Just that's the first one. Just any thoughts you've got post the meeting. Secondly, just with the lithium hydroxide plant, I know this is before your time, but if we go back to when this was first talked about, it was a 10,000 ton plant for $30 million. January last year, the CapEx went up to 60 to 70. Now it's come in at close to 78. How much confidence now do you have in that that's the final number? What sort of contingencies built in, and sort of maybe sort of help me understand why it keeps creeping up? And that's probably it for now, I think. Thanks.
Okay. On the first part of your question, the meeting with the President of Argentina is now focusing more on lithium. And the intention was from the president to understand which are the bottlenecks that the sector has and how can the government assist. We mostly address issues on infrastructure, availability of gas supply, electricity, and roads infrastructure, as well as different projects that could be used to reduce the transportation costs of the feedstock that we have to import and of the exported product. Those were the key issues. Regarding the tax, for the time being, the temporary tax seems to be longer than temporary, or for quite a long temporary. Will take some time for the government to remove it. However, as the currency devalues, as it was mentioned in an earlier question, the impact of the tax is being reduced. Remember that it's about 30 pesos per exported dollar. That's the way it is nominated. At the time, the peso to the dollar was at a 30-to-1 rate. It is today at a 41, 42-to-1 rate. So you see, you are already seeing almost a 3% reduction in the tax. And we should continue to see it as the currency devalues. The second part of your question regarding the Naraha plant, but there are many things that have changed. Yes, I don't recall the initial number, but yes, we did work jointly with Veolia to a large extent in trying to make sure that the costs are going to be those. On the increases side, it is important to mention that we added to the plant a kiln oven, a calcination oven, so as to be able to reuse the lime that the project has to use in the process. That not only impacts in a lower consumption of lime, but also in a lower cost, because we don't have to dispose the lime after being used. We can reuse it within the process. That impacted the costs up. has impacted the operational expenses down. Also, I think that the number of 70 that you mentioned, of 75 that you mentioned, is right. You have to take into consideration that there's going to be a $27 million subsidy from the Japanese government, which will make a net cost of the subsidy for the plant of $50.5 million. We feel comfortable that that includes a contingency within the number, and this is being contracted on an EPC basis with Veolia, and the cost for the capital project has been agreed and closed. Should there be no modifications to the project, the cost should not vary. The variations from the cost are expected from any variation to the process or changes to the design, which after the time we took to review and focus the design, we don't see them as highly probable of happening. However, we'll keep you updated on any further change that may show up there. In a nutshell, you know, we feel pretty comfortable that we can get the plan done within that number, unless we find surprises in the process as we go through it.
And Martin, could I just ask one more question, if you can still hear me? Just you made a comment earlier about, you know, the margin for the hydroxide plant will depend on the premium hydroxide over carbonate. How do you see that developing, though? We obviously have a large number of spodumene players targeting conversion facilities to produce hydroxide in Western Australia. Where do you see that premium going? If, you know, it feels to me like it could close to almost zero over the carbonate price. So just curious, you know, what do you see happening on that front, given what we're seeing in WA?
So we'll give you an answer between two parts here. We'll give you the first part, and I will ask Tara and David to update on the how do they see the premium evolving. What I think is very important is that the feedstock for the plant is going to be primary lithium carbonate produced at our Olaroz facility at a low cost that enables us to achieve, you know, a good profit on the lithium hydroxide. But I think David and Tara can explain you more on how we see the margin between both products moving forward.
It's probably not a question that can be comprehensively answered here, but I think if looking at the dynamics of the market at a high level, when you're looking at the capacity coming in on hydroxide and the projected demand, the outlook on, you know, high nickel cathodes for EV use, And just looking at general market theory, there could be and may be a convergence between the lithium carbonate battery grade product prices and the lithium hydroxide battery grade. But as Martin just pointed out, the feedstock for Naraha is the unpurified lithium carbonate product out of Olaroz, the prime product. So there's not only a lower cost of production to that, but there's also, you know, a price delta built into the market for that as well. So I think even if we were to see a convergence of hydroxide and carbonate pricing into the battery market, you'd still have a situation where the Naraha operation would, you know, still be sustainable.
Okay. And just while you're answering that, Ben, just your price spread between your battery and your grade and your, I guess, industrial grade carbonate, what sort of spread's that at now? And are you able to produce an at-spec battery grade carbonate when the purification circuit's running? Like, is there any product quality issues to stop you achieving what, you know, indices out there suggest is a $12,000 to $13,000 carbonate for battery price?
Yeah. We currently produce a purified micronized product because the battery market requires a micronized product for cathode production. So we can and do produce that, and the product qualifications that we refer to are related to that micronized product, and it requires, you know, customers to typically run a production trial continuously for about 6 months in order to qualify that product on their production line to make sure that it does what it's supposed to do. And then you've got, you know, subsequent product testing that usually follows that. In regard to the Delta, I mean, it's a little bit different at the moment depending on what market you're talking about, whether it's China versus non-China, whether you've got product going into a qualification trial or, you know, it's supplied under contract to a battery market customer. I mean, traditionally, the Delta has been, you know, of the order of, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 a ton. So in the long term, I'd expect that sort of Delta to remain, and, you know, perhaps even widen over time. But that depends what happens on the supply side.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Reg Spencer from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. Just a question around your contract negotiations. You mentioned in your quarterly report that you'll be looking over the next little while to establish a predominantly longer term or plus 1 year contracts. I'm just wondering, you know, is that a suggestion that you could see prices further weakening going forward? Because I'm just wondering if is now the right time to be setting long-term contracts after pricing globally has pulled back quite some way? Should we be thinking about that a different way? Is this a nature or something related to your plant products going forward, or is it a view that you think prices could actually weaken going forward?
Reg, I think in relation to the long-term contracts, the way these arrangements are set up, you know, how they're discussed, negotiated and eventually structured, given the nature of the agreement being long-term, it's not, you know, it's set on a mechanism that's beholden to what the market price is today. There's a number of different pricing mechanisms that can be used, and we're currently in the throes of negotiating to, and they range from, you know, having components of the contracts fixed, linked to market, whether that be an index or other mechanism using a basket of factors. So, look, they're predominantly negotiated on a mechanism that is fair to both parties. So it'll be ultimately reflective of, you know, the market conditions of the time, by and large. You know, we do have a couple of fixed price contracts in place, but, you know, they're at levels that, you know, we're comfortable with and the customers are comfortable with, and there are mechanisms within those contracts to make sure that neither party is disadvantaged.
Okay, understood.
I think something to comment on David's answer is that it is important for us to get these long-term relationships with the customers, and, you know, establishing the right price and mechanisms of the contracts should benefit us in the long term. What we felt in the current downward movement of the market is that not having those contracts in place was somehow difficult for us to push the purified product into our customers because the long-term relationships and the qualifications weren't there.
Okay, thank you. My other question is, I suppose, a follow-up to Glenn's earlier question about hydroxide. In the event that hydroxide prices were to fall below carbonate, and we did see that briefly last year or the year before, but if we have a look at planned capacity in the hydroxide market, noting that a lot of that new capacity is integrated hard rock, which is arguably, you know, at the bottom of the cost curve relative to conversion to carbonate, you know, thinking about the supply and demand dynamics of the hydroxide market relative to carbonate, you know, there is the potential for hydroxide to fall below carbonate pricing. So if that were to play out, how do you think about the profitability of the Naraha JV? You know, could it be a case whereby they're paying market rates for the carbonate feedstock, so the Olaroz JV books a profit on that, whereby it could be a situation that the Japanese JV is actually booking a loss? You know, are you able to... I know you guys have previously said that the price at which you're going to be selling carbonate to the Japanese JV will be set at market rates. But what happens if hydroxide falls below carbonate? Any comments on that?
There's probably a whole other discussion that needs to be had on this, Reg. But look, in short, just to pick up on a couple of your comments in regard to hard lithium hydroxide production from hard rock being low cost. In the case of integrated producers, I'd agree with you there. But outside of the high quality, I should qualify that as high quality integrated producers, it's not as low cost as those high quality integrated guys. So that's one point. The second point is that we're talking about comparing battery grade lithium hydroxide with battery grade lithium carbonate in terms of market price. As I mentioned before, there's always going to be a delta there in terms of the market price of the carbonate going into the Naraha plant. But look, in the event that we were to see a market dynamic where you have hydroxide less than carbonate, I think it's still highly likely that there's going to be a delta between the carbonate price going into Naraha versus the market price of battery grade hydroxide in order to sustain the Naraha plant. I do acknowledge that you look at the Chinese market in the past, and hydroxide prices have in fact been lower than carbonate at some points in time in the past. But when you look at the production of purified carbonate and also purified hydroxide, what's involved, the cost involved to get them there, and also the market players involved that are those low cost, high quality, fully integrated market players. I think there's also an element of responsible marketing here that comes into play as well. And I think the market will largely be led in the longer term, by those larger companies that have the low cost, high quality integrated operations.
Understood. I'd love to continue this offline, David. So
it's a long conversation, that one, Reg.
Yeah, understood. All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Nick Herbert from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, guys. Most of my questions have been answered. Martin, can I just clarify? The six new harvest ponds that you've got, have they been providing any feed to the plant, or did they provide any feed to the plant in the March quarter?
No, they've just been constructed and filled in. We use part of those new harvestable ponds to replace the ponds that we took out of production in order to harvest them. But but what was temporary holding some brine, not providing any feedstock to the plant.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. And then just, the guidance for the June quarter and the battery versus technical grade split, I know you said ideally you'll be producing battery grade by the end of this month, but do you mind just being a bit more explicit on your estimate for what that split will actually look like over the whole quarter?
But yes, as I said before, you know, we're basing these figures and ideas on very early numbers based on the confirmed shipments that we have today. That number today looks pretty much skewed to prime product. David, you've got the numbers more in detail than I am, so you can comment on this better, please.
Yeah, look, it's along the lines of 85% to 15%.
Okay. Yep, great. All right, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back for closing remarks.
Well, again, thank you very much for participating in this call. As I said before, we are comfortable with the evolution that we have during the quarter, not only in terms of production, but the progress with the Naraha plant and moving forward on the expansion on stage two and very important things for Orocobre. We're continuing to work hard with the team to continue to improve in safety. We think that safety leads us in terms of quality and productivity, and that is the key focus that we have for our operations. So thank you very much, and the whole team of Orocobre remains available for any further question or doubt you may have. Thank you, Jesse, for hosting this call for us.